And Brian brought us, kind enough to join us on a Friday from Oxnard, California, here on your home of the boys, 105.3 The Fan, sitting down in the Wild Fork Foods hot seat, and also brought to you by RJ's Next Neighborhood, Treeline by Hillwood. And yesterday I was driving to pick up my kids from school, and I was just listening. I was just listening to Broadus being his natural habitat, just loving, soaking up all the football that was taking place during the G-Bag Nation. Good morning, man. How are you?
Doing excellent, boys. How about yourselves?
Is that the Super Bowl ring that you're wearing?
Yeah, 1996.
Look at that.
Always flexing.
All right.
Who yeah. do you need
reminds
to
me. It reminds me one time in my life I was a winner. That reminds me the one time
hey,
I was a winner.
Hey, I told you, you're a YouTube winner for our 840 segment, okay? So put that right next to the Super Bowl ring with the numbers that you're generating.
Did you wear that just to check chill at practice to be like, if he says anything to you, you can just show it to him?
No, the head coach asked anybody that had a Super Bowl ring to show up and wear them. So that remember he said, hey, if you're coming around the facility, you know, wear your Super Bowl ring. We need to see these things. So I'm just trying to help the head coach out.
Your top three favorite wrestlers ever.
I'm not a wrestling fan. If you want me, I could go all the way back to the 70s because at the Sportatorium, there was like Ivan Putski, Flying Red Bastien, Fritz von Erich. I watched wrestling when the dudes had the high black boots and the trunks, you know, and then there was Jimmy Snuka. He was like the most athletic of the wrestlers. Like, you know, he would cut his head, he'd bleed profusely, and then he would finish off the top rope. That kind of, but yeah, I wasn't in that era where they were starting out. Well, I lived through that era, but I, you know, the WrestleManias and stuff. But somebody told me, like, when we had it at AT&T, all my buddies at DallasCowboys.com are like, Broadus, you missed it. You missed out. That was some of the most fun we've ever had at the stadium.
Yeah.
When it came to all that, it's quite a show for sure. But and there's people that are very passionate about it. Very passionate about it.
Yes. Yesterday, it looked like the Cowboys were very passionate at practice. I was loving the highlights of the feistiness that came out of that back and forth. Just give us some highlights or observations of practice.
Yeah, I know you and I were talking about earlier, and I don't know if you're going to ask me about what I think about run game stuff.
Yeah.
But I'll save that then for when your question starts. But I think what I'm really noticing, and I think you guys will see this when you come out here this weekend, is that, you know, usually you'll have practices where one position group or one unit dominates the other one, and it's kind of, man, the defense is not looking very good today. Boy, the offense just can't get it going, you know. And why there's so much feistiness here is this thing is really going from series to series. Yeah, you know, there will be an offensive play where it's a Pickens Lamb large run by by Sanders, you know, and then all of a sudden the next play will be a tip pass, a ball get knocked out, a fumble, an interception. So what you're really having is it's really interesting to watch because it's so competitive. But like I said, series to series, because it's like not one group is dominating the other during the practice. And you get a lot out of that watch and practice. I'm looking forward to seeing these guys in full pads. I think it's going to have a little bit of a flair to it, what we used to have with Jason Garrett, where there were more physical practices. You know, they were more intense. There was more one-on-one stuff. I think this coach right here, as fun as he talks about being, I think he's got some of his dad in him, where he wants to come out and have that type of practice.
Because of all y'all's draft homework and all that time you put into it, I have been saying it feels like Donovan Azaraku is like already going to, like, I just have it set in my mind he's going to be a player, and it sounded like he had a hell of a practice.
He's had three really good ones, and Bobby could attest to this because he's watched the tape on him as well. This kid is a very natural pass rusher. And he, you know, the learning curve for him was not going to be, if you started talking about the top pass rushers in the draft, he was one of the top three. When you talked about bend, ability to finish at the quarterback, you know, his ability to break down blockers, he's got a veteran presence to him the way he plays, and he's got a little bit of an awareness to him. They tried to throw a screen to him off the right side, and he was like, he kind of, instead of flying up the field, he saw back to his side, and he saw the lineman start to move, and he says, boy, I haven't seen this one before. And he took off and then got up the field to beat the block. And now it's, you know, a play that could have gone for, you know, for a few yards ends up being a loss of six because he's right there. So it doesn't matter. I mean, it's not like he's having success against, you know, backup guys. He's having success. Anybody that lines up across from him, he is having some success. Dak threw an interception yesterday down in the red zone. The play would have likely ended up a sack by Ezeraku because he was that quick off the ball. I looked at Todd Archer. I said, was he offsides? He says, you see a flag on the field from the official? I said, no, I don't. You know, so here we go. You know, it's that's the kind of player he is.
Hey, you mentioned the Dak interception.
Yeah.
We were talking about some, like, you know, camp interceptions. Do you kind of scoff at camp interceptions because they're
They're a problem. They're a problem. Yeah. No, it's a problem when you have them. You know, any turnover, it's encouraging to see the defense create turnovers, and then you wonder why, like, okay, how that happened. Dak had an interception the other day with Elam, and he didn't see Elam. You know, he didn't see him. And he went up to Elam afterwards and, like, what coverage were you in? You know, yeah. what did you see from me to make you get into that throwing line? Elam is a veteran player. Has he had a lot of success? No. But he's smart, he's savvy. You know, he looks at splits. He sees where you're lining. He'll line up inside if you feel like, man, you're too far outside. You're about to take this route inside. He's that kind of guy. So when he makes this interception, you're kind of going, okay, Dak didn't see him. There was a good disguise, or he came off his guy in order to make that play. Joe Milton had an interception yesterday that was just an awful throw. I mean, it was just like he's trying to throw the ball to Schoonmaker inside down on the goal line. He had no business throwing the ball there. And it just, you know, it so happens that they get an interception on the play. So, yeah, interceptions are bad, Choppy, because after it happens, everybody kind of looks at each other like, oh, what coverage were they in and what was he looking at? You know, and these are guys he works out against every single day, these quarterbacks. So you should know a little bit of the tendencies of the guys you're playing against. But when that happens, it's a little bit of shock to the system.
So you're not equating it to like a spring training pitcher just working on some stuff to experiment with?
No, man.
With.
Your job is to read and get the ball to where it needs to be. And there's plenty of times where it's good. There's plenty of times where there's a throw like, you know, Joe Milton, they ran an RPO yesterday, and Joe Milton has been running the ball. He's been pulling it and running it with some success. And Tyrus Wheat gets to the outside and kind of cuts him off. And Milton he's like, okay, I can't run. But then he's got Turpin flying across the field. He stops and just sidearms it, you know, in between the defenders. And you're like going, okay, there you go. That's the kind of stuff, you know, you're working on things, but, you know, your job is also, though, get the ball where you need to get it. If you read the defense wrong, you know, that's something that can't happen in a game. I mean, you gotta be on point when this is all going down.
Brian Broaddus joining us here on 105 The Fan. Okay, Brian, I'm going to ask you a question. Before I do, I'm going to maybe mix it up with you a little bit on the last couple things we've talked about. I just have a question for you first. You're not saying that, or you're saying that interceptions during these periods matter when you're talking about the types of interceptions they are, right? Like, because to me, there are instances where the offense is like, we're running this and we need to see this outcome. Or in this instance, you've got Eberflus in here and it's a new defense and there's naturally going to be stuff they haven't seen from the defense before. And so there is going to be stuff that, oh, this is brand new. I've never seen this before.
Yeah, but it's their job. Like I say, this is a 10-year veteran and, you know, and Joe Milton's been in the league now a couple of years. I'm just saying, though, there's things as a veteran, and they're going to make mistakes, Bobby. And again, I appreciate your defense of Dak Prescott.
That was a Dak defense. That was a process defense.
No, I'm just saying, though, to me, you know, we go through practices where they're really pretty plays. There's some really well-designed stuff. And I don't think it's just we're looking at it. I mean, they created a situation yesterday, and this is what I appreciate starting to be about with this coach, is they run a two-man screen with Hunter Lipke and Williams going outside. And what does it do? It stretches the defense, and now Ferguson just curls back inside, an easy throw for Dak. He's trying to make easy throws for Dak. That I appreciate about him. But, yeah, when the quarterback gets fooled and he's a 10-year vet and it happens a couple of times in a practice, you're kind of going, what is he seeing? There's been questions, Bobby, and you even have to admit this. Mm-hmm. Some of his worst interceptions have been when he is not correctly
Tunnel vision is his biggest problem.
That's a big issue for him. When he is going to have problems, it's when he doesn't correctly pre-snap read a defense.
Yeah, tunnel vision is his biggest problem when he's going through his progressions and then just not seeing a defender, being so, right. Like, just seeing guys on the periphery that are basically squatting, waiting for him. You mentioned Kyir Elam, who he's had high praise pretty much throughout the offseason practices. Mm-hmm. He continues to sound like impress out here.
Yeah.
Is he the leader on the list of guys, and maybe who are some of the others, of the guys that you are most critical Sunday for? Does this look different when the pads come on? Do you fall back when the pads come on?
You know, he's every time the media has had an opportunity to watch a practice, they've come away saying that he's made a play. He's made. I'll give you an example. The one opportunity that I had for an OTA observation was they put Lamb in the slot and they put a tight end on the outside. So they tried to create width again and then run Lamb vertically and then. Kyir was able to stay with Lamb, turn, and find the ball. Then he got an interception. He didn't, you know, Lamb couldn't separate him. They tried to do it by scheme to get Lamb one-on-one, and they thought they were going to be able to get him on somebody that couldn't cover him. But Eberflus suggested by putting Elam over there, and Elam was able to run with him. And then you see him make the interception that way. This, to me, is when they start in Philadelphia, it's likely going to be Bland on one side, Elam on the other would be my absolute guess right now.
Brian Broaddus joining us from Oxnard here on 105.3 The Fan. How much is it harming the football team and Micah that he's not practicing?
Well, they're getting a look at again at Fowler and Sam Williams and some others. I mean, they're actually trying to do some things. They, you know, Mike is really good on the double A gap blitz that Mike Zimmer was able to use him on last year. I think this is something that Eberflus has watched tape and said, we need to get Micah involved this way. Let him attack the guard, let him attack the center, and then see if he can, you know, if he can continue to generate pressures that way. But yeah, you can't work on things like that. The only real question is Micah has not been noticeable on the field as far as, you know, being like, you know, cheerleader guy or over there with him. Matter of fact, he was signing autographs while they were practicing the other day. You know, he was over there hanging out doing that. So does it hurt him? Yeah, it hurts him because Eberflus, but, you know, the show goes on. You the coaches always say, hey, we practice with who we have here practicing. But it hasn't become a distraction yet to where, you know, where there looks like there's just the defense is completely, they created some pressures yesterday. They absolutely created some pressures yesterday. And a lot of it had to do with what Eberflus and those guys were able to do.
I was listening to yesterday on G-Bag break down the run scheme and what you were picking up so far from it. Can you just reset that for our audience?
Yeah, to me, it's going to be a power gap run scheme is what it's going to be. And I think they're taking some pages out of how San Francisco runs the ball. When San Francisco runs, there's teams that play with a college offense. I think that's like the Arizona Cardinals. I think the Washington Commanders are a college offense. I think the Baltimore Ravens are a college offense. 49ers power gap run scheme where you play with the fullback, you play with movement, you get hip to hip. You know, I went down and I was watching the drills and how they're running the ball and how they're having some success running the ball the last 3 days has been hip to hip with the blockers. You push the tackle, and then when you feel like you have the tackle secure, you get off onto the second level. But that's really what they're trying to do. It's been a lot more. Their outside run game stuff has been more like the toss or like the handoffs or the RPOs that we talked about. But when they've run the ball with some success, it's been the power gap scheme where they're trying to get bodies at the point of attack. Again, push hip to hip, secure the down lineman, and drive that guy into the linebacker, separate, and then let the back make the cut.
You're a beast. Thank you for making this extra time. We'll see you in a couple days. Can't wait.
Sounds good. Thanks, boys. Take care.
The great Brian Broaddus, brought to you by Reliant AC, sitting down as well in the Wild Fork Foods hot seat, wildforkfoods.com. Elite, the best game day grilling that you can have. Former GM, Baseball Electricity, on that trade deadline on the home of the Rangers, Steve Phillips joins us next.